Welcome to another edition of Garden Talk. Hello, I'm Larry Mueller. Pleased to welcome Kristen Krakowski to the microphones today. She's the Waukesha County Extension Commercial Horticulture Educator. Really pleased to have her back again. And certainly, if you have some questions about what's going on outside in your garden, or you know, maybe you're moving some things inside, or what's going on with the plants inside the house already, give us a call. Here's the number, 1-800-642-1234. Or in Madison at 263-1890. Kristen with us by phone. Hi, Kristen.
Hi, how are you?
Well, great. How are you doing?
Good.
You got all your outdoor gardening done?
Oh, well, we're farmers, so we don't quite ever get everything done.
That's right. I'd forgotten about that. Well, I tell you what, it's a cold day across most of Wisconsin, I think, and I know we've got a few things to do outside, and judging from the number of calls we already have, there are plenty of questions out there, so we'll go right to the phones. Jody in Cassville is online first, so let's go right to Jody. Hi, Jody.
Good morning, Larry.
Morning.
I just have a question about a hibiscus that I planted this past spring. I could have sworn when I bought it that it said it was a perennial, so I planted it, and I had a neighbor walk by the other day and say that I had better get that moved in pretty soon because of, you know, the cold temps at night here, and it's big now. I mean, it grew a lot over the summer, and I just could have sworn it said that it was a perennial, and I just thought I'd maybe cut it down, and it'd be good to go next spring. So I guess my question is, are there certain perennial type of hibiscus and certain annual ones, or?
Okay, what do you think, Kristen?
Some hibiscus are more hardy than others. We are a little bit far north for hibiscus to do well over the winter. If you're pretty confident that it's supposed to be hardy for your yard, you can try mulching it in and protecting it from the winter and see if it comes back. But just in general, because hibiscus tend to be a little less hardy, it's always a good idea to treat them as an annual and just count yourself lucky if you do get it to come back.
Okay.
So
all
right. Would you wait to mulch until it freezes, or would you do it right away, Kristen?
No, I would wait a little while. Usually mulching, for most things, especially perennials, you're going to wait until we have about a week of freezing temperatures and then mulch things in.
Okay. Thanks, Jody. Sarah in DeSoto, your turn. Hi, Sarah.
Hello. When my mom died suddenly this last August, my brother, sisters, and I inherited a mother voodoo plant or a death lily.
Definitely, yeah.
And about 27 of its little babies, various sizes.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom didn't leave any instructions. So far, we've killed about half of them.
Yeah.
And we're trying to figure out how to overwinter one, especially the mother one. It's in a pot, and it generally can grow to be about 4 feet tall before it blooms. And we have to take it outside. Otherwise, it stinks too much.
Yeah.
So this is something that she had out in her garden.
No, it's a potted plant, and she always brought it in the winter, and then sometime around this time of year, it went to the basement, and it stayed in the root cellar part of the basement, and then she'd bring it up in the spring, and the only time she'd put it outside would be when it had bloomed, because when it blooms, it smells like death.
Yeah.
It's always a nice quality in a plant.
Yeah, but the one she had, the one that we call the mother voodoo, it'd throw the little babies off on the bottom of its pot, and she'd repot them.
Mm-hmm.
So at one point, she had over 47 voodoo plants, and I asked the local greenhouse what to do, and he says, I've never been able to keep one alive, let alone overwinter it. And so we've distributed the plants across the country to kids and grandkids, and everybody's wanting to know, what do we do to the instructions on trying to overwinter it and keep our voodoos alive?
Kind of the key for overwintering things that have to go dormant.
Mm-hmm.
I would try to get it to the as close to the conditions your mother had in her basement. So if she had a basement that was kind of damp and dark, try to replicate those conditions. So if you have a basement that's similar, then definitely try that.
Mm-hmm.
And if not, try to replicate those conditions, usually in a basement.
Okay.
You want to reduce the light. You want to keep it cooler. That slows down the metabolism of the plant and keeps it from kind of outstripping its resources during the winter. So it needs to be able to kind of survive. You need to keep those roots alive, but at the same time, you want to slow down the top of that plant so that it's not taking nutrients and not actively growing. The whole goal is just survival, not growth.
And the one big question we had, did she water it during the winter? Because none of us ever thought to ask.
It will probably need to be watered. The cooler temperatures and humidity should help slow that down, and it wouldn't need to be watered very often. But if that soil gets completely dry, what you're going to want to do is water it deeply, make sure the water comes out of the bottom of the pot. And you should only need to do that maybe two or three times this winter at most, but only when the soil gets really close to completely dry.
Okay.
You don't want the soil to stay wet in that cool environment because then you'll rot the roots.
Okay.
Good luck.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks, Sarah, for calling. And John and Shano, it's your turn. Hi, John.
Hi. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Great show. I always love I've been meaning to call for a couple of weeks. I have two black thumbs, and I made an 8x16 raised bed railroad ties garden up here in Shawnee, where we have just a very little bit of topsoil and then sand underneath, close to beautiful Shawnee Lake. Well, my problem was last year I thought I was being smart, and I was trying to insulate and mulch with straw. Well, the straw had seeds. And so now in my garden, I'm growing, this year I grew a very good lawn.
Yeah.
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, so for next year, you know, I've asked a couple neighbors, and how can I get rid of, you know, how can I start fresh next year?
There's basically two different kinds of weed killers out there.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah. I have three dogs and a cat, and I'd love to not use, something strong in chemicals.
Okay. Well, that's definitely an option. You might want to take newspaper over it this winter and just cover it with newspaper, let the snow fall on top of that, and keep it covered.
Mm-hmm.
And without the sunlight, those plants should die. And
great.
Then you can mulch that newspaper in the spring.
Okay.
And then that should take care of it. It might take you a while to get rid of it without any chemicals. But it's definitely a proven way to get rid of the, you know, your grasses.
Great. I was thinking about the black plastic thing, you know, something like that, just to kill everything. But the seeds shouldn't come back then?
Well, yes, you'll get some seeds back. That will kill the grass that's there. If you want to use black plastic or clear plastic, the clear plastic will heat the soil up in the spring more. And what it'll do, if it gets hot enough, it might not in Shawnee, it'll kill some of those seeds. But also when they emerge, they'll emerge sooner, and you might be able to just go through and weed a lot of those weeds out in the spring.
Okay.
Should I actually till? You know, I have lots of organic matter from the plants that did grow kind of well. Should I till everything in or not? Would that be a bad idea?
I'm not sure you're going to want to till because you're going to turn up a lot of those seeds,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to add organic matter, which is just going to help the hay grow.
Okay, I gotcha.
Okay.
I'll serve fresh in spring. Thank you so much, and love the show.
Thanks, John. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. And Julie in Eau Claire, your turn. Hi, Julie.
Good morning. I experimented last year for the first time, kind of doing the root stout method, lazy gardener.
Yeah.
And I left the mulch there. I didn't even take out the tiller, and I grow mostly a zinnia flower bed, and I had real good luck with that. But the other day when I pulled up the old zinnia plants, I was wondering, is it best? Should I leave that old mulch, what is left, laying there, or should a person, am I inviting in bad insects in that? Should I clean up the old mulch and put down fresh mulch after it freezes real hard?
What kind of mulch do you have?
It's old hay and straw, and it's really broken down a lot, but it's right, you know, I got my rows right there.
No, I think you're fine to mix that in this fall, and then it can kind of sit there and decompose a little bit, and it should be good organic matter for the spring.
Now, what about where the rows are, where I'm going to plant next spring's flowers? Should they be covered up with mulch, too, or?
I don't think it matters either way. I mean, you can definitely, if you have mulch there, leave it there,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think you would need to add it.
But that old mulch isn't inviting in bad stuff, huh?
If it's mostly decomposed,
yeah.
if you don't have, like, a thick mat, a lot of the times what you see with leaves from the fall and other things like that is they'll form this thick mat where the air can't penetrate.
Right.
And then you're asking for trouble. Then you end up with a lot of crown rots on your plants, and you have a lot of fungi that can actually grow in there, and you'll have more problems next year with the fungi. But if you have good air penetration and you think that that's partially decomposed, then I would just go with it.
Mm-hmm. One comment, maybe you could warn all the listeners out there about the honeybees to make sure they read their their packages of, if they use seven or that, about the honeybee problem. Thank you.
Yep. Thanks a lot for calling, and that's something next spring to be thinking about. Absolutely. Rose in Menominee Falls, it's your turn. Hi, Rose.
Hi there. I'm calling. Last year, I brought one of my outdoor geraniums, which are doing beautiful now. They didn't do great all summer. But I brought one in, and I just treated it like a houseplant. I potted it and brought it in, and it did beautiful. I planted it again this spring, and it did better than any of the others I put there. Now, I want to do it again. Do I choose two different geraniums, or can I bring that same one in again?
I don't see a problem with bringing the same one. Just the thing I would be worried about bringing a geranium in is that you might be bringing pests in with it, and you definitely don't want to spread those to your other houseplants.
I brought my hibiscus. Well, I brought most of my outdoor ones in, and I hose them down, and then I do a couple treatments of insecticidal soap before I bring them in. And I really haven't had problems. But, in fact, my one hibiscus, though, can I trim that back a little bit? They're so big.
You can. I would probably wait a little bit, let it, you know, it's going to take a little while to acclimate.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's in that kind of a stressful situation, you don't really want to do any pruning.
But after a while, I could do it. I know spring is the best time to cut it back, or before I put it out, but... Can I ask you just one quick question about the leaves on the hibiscus?
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at one right now, and my one hibiscus, it's a healthy plant. It's bloomed like crazy, but the leaves, and this has been all summer, the leaves tend to curl, and they get these kind of light brown spots on them and then get holes in them.
Are the spots kind of randomly all over, or are they around the edge?
No, they're randomly all over.
And they start out brown, or do they turn yellow first and then turn brown?
No. And they're not brown. It's almost, they're not white. It's just lighter colored than the leaf, I guess.
And was this primarily why it was outside?
Well, it's still doing it inside, although the leaves curled more when it was outside.
I would
but
take
I've
a look.
I treated it.
Yeah, hmm? I would take a keep an eye on it. If it continues, I would keep looking for an insect problem. It doesn't sound like a fungal problem.
No.
There are a lot of different kind of leaf spots that, you know, attack plants, but, you know, usually they have a little bit different of symptoms.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks very much for calling. Kristen Krokowski, our guest today, Waukesha County UW Extension Commercial Horticulture Educator. On this edition of Garden Talk, I'm Larry Mealer with Jim Packard on the Ideas Network. If you have a plant question, we hope you'll join us at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. You can also email us at talk@wpr.org. And Kristen, somebody I believe did email us and asked if it's too late to plant garlic this fall.
Ooh, in some parts of the state I would say yes. It really depends on where they live. I wouldn't do it when the ground's frozen. Usually you want to do that late September, early October.
Okay.
But if they, you know, if the ground's not frozen where they're at, and they might as well give it a shot.
Okie dokie. Let's go to Don in Waukesha next. Hi, Don.
Hi there. Good morning.
Morning. What can we do for you?
Well, I've got actually two questions. First one, though, is the most important one. I have what is called a pink smoke bush. I ordered it from Jung's years ago, and the darn thing grows and gets nice leaves on it, but it never shows that pink smoky look on it. I cut it back way down to the ground a few years ago. It's come up again, but still nothing. What should I do? Just throw it away?
Do you think it's getting enough sun?
I know it's getting a lot of sun.
Okay, how many hours a day would you say it's getting of sun?
Oh, at least 6 or 7.
Is it really close with other plants?
Yes.
Okay.
In a matter of fact, it's right in the middle of a bed of daylilies.
It might be competition. There are a lot of things that can affect a smoke bush to, you know, not to flower. So you might want to try just relocating it instead of just getting rid of the plant.
Okay.
Move it out where you can. Doesn't have competition and it gets plenty of light.
Okay.
See what it does then.
Okay.
All right. Good luck.
Second question, I can't think of the name of these things, but they bloom at only after it gets dark and they have a white flower on them. They kind of grow pretty low to the ground, and when that flower ends, there's a big globe-like thing with all kinds of bristles on it. I can't think of the name of it.
Is it a mum?
No.
Okay.
It only blooms at night. After dark, and it has a very sweet smell to it.
Tobacco?
No.
It's not.
And there's a moonflower that is really large.
That's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
So, sorry.
Was that your question?
You just wondered.
Do you know where I can get seeds for those things?
Oh, you should be able to find them. If you can't find them at a garden center, then I would try online.
Yeah, you should be able to get. I'm surprised Jung's wouldn't even have those.
Okay, all right.
In fact, Jung's does have them.
Okay, all right.
All right, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Yeah, Jung's has them. And, you know, that ornamental tobacco plant really does release a nice, wonderful smell after dark or around dark, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm, and it's a nice-sized plant, too. It's a nice, taller plant for plantings.
Yeah, it sure is. Lauren in Wisconsin Dells, hi to you.
Hello.
What can we do for you?
I got a couple of lilac bushes, and we've had the one for, I don't know, 7-8 years, and we never know how to trim it or when to trim it, and now it's getting kind of thin in the middle so you can see through it. And when do we trim it and how?
You want to trim it after it blooms. If you trim it now or during the winter, you'll trim off the blooms for next spring. When lilacs get older, they kind of get thin in the middle, and you'll just see the foliage kind of on the outside edge of those plants.
Yeah.
So basically, when that happens, you want to go through what's called a rejuvenation pruning. You'll want to take and cut back the major stems all the way to the ground after it blooms, and you want to do 1/3 of those a year for 3 years until you completely trim off the entire bush, and then it'll start growing again, and it'll be green all the way through.
All right. And I have another question. We have, I don't know what kind they are, just little rose bushes. My daughter got my wife this year, and now do we cover them for the winter and stuff, mulch them, or what do we do?
Do you know what kind of roses they are by any chance?
No, we really don't.
Are they low and shrubby, or are they kind of tall and vase-like?
They're low and shrubby.
Then you shouldn't have to do anything. If they're actually native roses, if they're shrub roses, then those don't really usually need any winter care at all up here in Wisconsin. Most are hardy.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you.
Yep, thanks, Lauren. And on to Karen in Watertown. Hi, Karen.
Hi there. I just wanted to respond to the first caller's question regarding hibiscus. There are hardy. I have a small landscaping business, so I thought I should comment on
that.
There is a hardy hibiscus that is probably, if the woman was told that it was perennial, it probably indeed is. And the hardy hibiscus in this area are hardy to 20 to 25 below zero. She can cut off the stalks. The stalks are probably, if it is a perennial, the stalks are probably probably about as big a diameter as, maybe a half an inch diameter.
Okay.
And she should cut those back to 3 or 4 inches, and she can do that now. But what I wanted to caution about was they are very late to emerge in the spring. So I didn't want her to go ahead and trim that back now.
Oh, we lost. We lost Karen. Karen, are you there? that's too bad. Well, I think we got most of the information that we needed. Cut it back, but don't cut it back right now. And be careful in the spring because it's going to be late coming up.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks, Karen. I'm sorry we lost you there. Greg in Madison, your turn. Hi, Greg.
Hi. My question has to do with two choke cherries that I planted about 7 years ago, and they've done super well facing the south. And last year, they came back sort of really sparse, and then this spring, they had maybe between the two of them 2 dozen leaves. I got really discouraged. They looked like brooms sticking out of the ground. I just cut them down and dug out the root ball, and I replaced them with Norwegian maples. But I want to know what happened to those trees. They were doing so well.
Did anything happen in the yard that changed the conditions? Did you add soil, or was there any kind of construction?
No, nothing. Nothing like that.
How about watering? Were there an area of your yard that gets dry?
Yeah. It's a lawn facing south, and the soil's not really very good, but they'd done well for 7 years, and all of a sudden they weren't.
Well, you know, we had a couple of bad years in the Madison area, which were really pretty dry years. And if you didn't water those trees right up until about frost, they weaken, and over time, you know, and you might not notice it for a couple of years. It often, isn't that right, Kristen? Usually that it takes a year or two for that kind of condition to show up, if I'm not mistaken.
Absolutely. Usually, once we get into the drought season, that's what weakens the trees. But it's after the trees are weak that things really come in and kill them. So right when they weaken, you don't really see it, but maybe that year they become infected with something, and it takes 2 or 3 years for them to really die.
Okay. Great. Thank you so much.
Yep, thanks a lot for calling. And, you know, we got so much water and rain in August in the southern Wisconsin, at least. But even so, you know, it's worth it to check your soil, and you should be watering those trees right up until close to frost.
Absolutely.
Yep. Annabelle in Fort Atkinson, your turn. Hi, Annabelle.
Good morning. Thank you for giving me a chance to pose my question.
Sure.
I have some leek in my garden. I raised them from seeds, planted them out when I thought it was okay to do it, but some, they did not grow to be very large, and I've not dug them out. I'm wondering if I selectively dig those that look like they're, maybe the diameter of a little finger and left the other ones, would they overwinter or not?
You can leave them in your garden and they'll overwinter there.
They will?
Yes. We grow leek at our farm and we can leave them in the ground.
Okay.
And you can harvest them as you want them during the winter.
Oh, all right.
You know, make sure they have a little bit of protection. You don't want them in the hottest, coldest area of your yard.
Okay.
But if they're in the ground already and they're growing, they'll just kind of slow down during the winter and not grow. And you
should
use them as you want to, or you can leave them in there in the spring and they'll start growing again in the spring.
Okay. Should I try to put any mulch on them later?
Are they in a colder area?
They're right out in my garden, yes, and they really don't have anything around them that would give them any shelter.
I would probably mulch them with maybe some shredded leaves or something a little bit lighter.
All right, okay, but probably after the ground freezes?
After we've had about a week of freezing temperatures.
All right, okay. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Thank you very much for calling. We got an email from Ryan regarding the voodoo lilies. Ryan's been growing them for several years now. The plants usually die down or go dormant in fall, and he says he digs up the corms and stores them dry on a shelf over winter. And in spring, they can be potted up when they start growing again. But he notes there are many different species, and they are divided into a few general groups of care. And he says there's a lot of information at the International Aroid Society website.
What I would do is maybe they can take the actual plant to their local county extension office to get it ID'd so they know which one of those directions to follow.
Yeah, you really need to know, and it might even go online and take a look at the Aroid, AROID.org, and take a look there too. Evelyn in Sheboygan, hi.
Hello. I live in an apartment with a patio, and I'm just wondering if I could plant tulip bulbs in a large pot and expect them to bloom in the spring.
You would need to protect those pots.
Yeah, I have a corner patio wall that's protected from the north wind, and I'm facing west, so I could put them way back in the corner there.
And what I would do is surround them with something like hay or styrofoam peanuts to insulate them just a little bit better.
Okay.
And then in the spring, when it starts to warm up, I would remove whatever you use as mulch, but I would also move them away from that wall.
Okay.
Because they'll come up really quick, and then they'll get nipped by the frost, and you'll lose them.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling. Bob in La Crosse, on to you. Hi, Bob.
Good morning.
Morning.
My question is with regards to black walnut trees.
Okay.
Okay, and we're going to harvest about a dozen trees on our property, and the logger made a comment that our trees were growing next to our garden and suspected the garden wasn't doing well, and that was the truth. And he had said that the black walnut's kind of a toxic tree for most plants. And I guess the question I have for you, I have two questions, really. First question is, when we harvest these trees, is there anything that we can grow in their place?
You mean other trees, or do you mean garden plants?
Well, ideally, you know, my wife would like to, you know, plant like strawberries or you know, blueberries or something there, and I don't know if we can do something like that, some sort of berry bush or a tree, I guess. You know, is there any particular thing that does okay in that kind of soil?
There is a X-File on the UW Extension Urban Horticulture website that gives a list of the chemical that the black walnut's producing is called juglone.
Yes.
And it's a list of juglone-tolerant plants.
Okay.
So there's a whole list, and you could choose from there. I doubt strawberries or blueberries are on there.
No. tomatoes sure as heck aren't.
Yeah. So there, and it'll give you an idea of garden plants too that will, you know, vegetable plants that will grow in the area. But even after those are harvested, you're talking at least 7 to 10 years before all of that juglone's out of your soil.
Okay, and that's what I wanted to know. The second question I have is, we did collect about 1,000 of the nuts, and the logger had suggested that we freeze those for 1 year to condition them and then try planting them. Does that sound right?
On that one, I'm not sure, but I guess the question is do you really want more black walnuts in your yard?
Good question. That's a good question. I don't know. But,
that's a lot of work. If you know, if the black walnuts have been causing your problems already, and then you to go through all that work and plant more and decide that wasn't a good idea.
Well, we noticed we tried to plant an apple tree next to one and have had terrible luck, and then we found out about this juglone, and I think that's probably why.
Yeah, I would probably forego the black walnuts and maybe diversify and try to think of some other plants that you might enjoy. That won't have so many negative impacts on your yard.
Sounds good. So 7 to 10 years before it's usable again.
Right.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Yep. Thanks a lot for calling. You can join in, too. I haven't given the number in a long time, but here it is, 1-800-642-1234. If you want to join in, 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, it's 263-1890, 263-1890. And email us at talk@wpr.org. As we talk with Kristen Krakowski, UW Waukesha County Extension Commercial Horticulture Educator. Karen in Watertown is next. Hi, Karen.
Hi, I'm sorry. I lost you in a dead zone on my cell phone.
Oh, okay.
Just to finish my comment, actually, the caller can indeed cut back the stalks of the hibiscus right now, and she could apply a layer of mulch, which could be helpful. However, like I guess when I lost you, is they because they are late emerging plants in the spring, I don't want her to think that possibly she did lose that hibiscus. She will notice that the new growth will not emerge from the stalks that she's cut back, but will emerge directly from the ground.
Okay.
And each year the plant will get fuller. They're very difficult to divide once established. And so hopefully she likes the spot that she's located this hibiscus in.
Okay.
But, and then some of the common varieties, this just might ring a bell with her. Some of the most popular are called like Lady Baltimore, Lord Baltimore, Copper King, Plum Crazy. Those are some of the names of the hibiscus. So if any of those are familiar, then she'll indeed know that she has a hardy hibiscus.
Karen, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate.
Bye-bye.
Appreciate the call. All right. Hibiscus taken care of. Barbara in Milwaukee, your turn. Hi, Barb.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
I have a problem with a palm tree. It's not too large, but it's very leggy. It's old, and it's very leggy, and I want to know if I can cut it off at the bottom and re-root it so that it will start over growing again and it'll be fuller.
Did you say palm or plum?
Palm, P-A-L-M.
Okay, I'm sorry. I just wanted to make sure that I heard you right.
Yeah.
Do you know by any chance what kind of a palm you have?
I have no idea. No.
Does it have red on the leaves?
No.
Okay.
It gets the little berries on it, you know, periodically. The little, they're like flowers, I think, you know.
It's really difficult to say when I'm not sure exactly what kind of palm it is. Different palms you need to treat in different ways.
I see.
I'm leery that that would actually work.
Ah.
You might be able, with some palms, you can cut them back and they'll re-sprout from that original growth without trying to, you know, kind of stick the top back in.
Oh, I see.
So I would try to identify it, and then it would probably be easier to give you, you know, some tips that would really work.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks very much.
Yep. Thanks a lot for calling. Mike in Stevens Point. Hi, Mike.
Good morning.
Morning.
My father-in-law planted quite a few walnut trees, and I was wondering how you harvest the nuts.
How you, oh boy.
I would recommend waiting till they fall off.
Yeah.
And then do you have to dry them then, or?
You're not going to want to deal with them straight off the tree because they have that coating around them that gets really messy and stains everything.
Okay.
So I would wait until they dry up.
Okay. And do you cut raspberry bushes to the ground?
Do you know if they're summer or fall bearing? When do you get fruit on them?
Usually in the late summer.
Okay, they're probably fall-bearing raspberries, and the best thing to do with those is to cut all the canes down to the ground now.
Okay.
And then what will happen is next year they'll come up, and you'll have a fuller crop and larger berries.
Very good. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot. Perry and Madison, hello.
Hi, how are you?
Great. Thank you for calling.
I have a question regarding ornamental potato vines.
Okay.
I dug them up this fall, and they had large potatoes at the end of the vines, which kind of surprised me. And I was wondering, is there any way that I can use those potatoes to re-root the vines next spring?
Absolutely. They're just like regular potatoes. They're sweet potato vines. And what you're going to want to do is you can, in the spring, cut those up. Make sure there's at least one eye on each chunk that you're going to use. And then those should resprout.
Great. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Yep. Thanks a lot. Where do you store them?
Oh, store them like regular potatoes. You want to keep them cool in a cool, dark place so that they don't start sprouting during the winter. Best place is probably a humid basement.
All right. Hansa and Nina, your turn. Hi there.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a question as well as need some answers. I have a buckhorn trees or choke cherry trees. There are black cherries on a top, but we do not know, and they have started growing on their own in between the honeysuckle bushes. There were gentlemen who wanted to plant the trees, and if he is interested, he can come and pick up from my backyard as many as he wants. We think it's a bad tree, so we are trying to take it out, but roots are so deep inside, and it's not that easy to take out. But he's welcome to come and pick it up. And are they edible or they are not?
I believe you're talking about buckthorn trees.
Well, somebody calls it a buckhorn, and somebody calls it a choke cherry.
Yes, if they are buckthorn, they are a weedy tree. They have a little tiny blackberry about the size of a small blueberry on them?
Yes, and there are dark green leaves, and there is another tree which is a lighter green, and the cherries are a little bit bigger and slightly rounded.
Okay.
And that one either is a buckhorn or choke cherry.
Okay, that might be a choke cherry. But the buckthorn tree is an invasive tree. It's a tree that we don't want here in Wisconsin. It does seed itself. You'll get lots of them. And they'll keep growing, and what they do is they shade out the other trees that we want to keep around. So it is good to try to get rid of them. It does take quite an effort to get rid of them, though. You need to cut them back and then apply a herbicide on the stump during the fall so that herbicide gets taken down into the roots, and then that will help kill the roots. But usually you have to do that a year or two in a row because they'll re-sprout. The other reason we don't want them is they're actually the berries are very bad for the birds, and I think a lot of people keep them around for the birds because they think they're good winter food for the birds, but they're really not.
Okay. Even the Roundup doesn't kill that trees.
No, on the small ones, what you can do is you can paint if they're small in diameter, less than a half an inch, you can paint the Roundup, and you want a strong concentration. Some of the Roundup that they sell in the store is like 2%, and you want one that's got a higher percentage, so you have to look at the back of the bottles. But you can paint that right on the bottom 1 foot of the tree, and it should kill it. But for bigger trees, you're going to have to chop them down and then paint the herbicide right on that stump.
The fresh cut.
Yeah, the fresh cut, because even if you wait a couple hours, it'll callus over and it won't take it down. And that needs to be done in the fall so that it pulls all of that pesticide down into the roots and can kill them.
What about the choke cherry?
The choke cherry, I would leave.
Yeah. If it's a choke cherry, it should be fine. If you want to get rid of it, you can get rid of it the same way. If you don't like it,
mm-hmm.
want to get rid of it, you can do it the same way.
It'll probably be easier than the buckthorn to get rid of.
A lot easier. Thank you very much for calling. Dan in La Crosse, hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Got a question about catalpa trees, or trees in general, I guess, but specifically a catalpa. Is it best to stratify those seeds, winter them, overwinter them, I guess, before you plant them? And then how do you do it? You know, I mean, the spike, do you plant the whole spike? Or, I don't know, maybe there's a Wisconsin publication out on this that you could give me a number also.
There isn't a publication specifically about catalpa that I know. I would store them over the winter in the pod.
Okay.
I'm not sure if they need to be scarified or not. I'm sure you could find that information on the internet. The only thing to be leery of is when you do use the seeds from any kind of tree, those seeds aren't necessarily genetically all that great. And I know with catalpa, because they're such fast-growing trees, they do pose a storm hazard.
Mm-hmm.
So be careful about how close you would plant a catalpa to your house.
Okay. I got a farm. I was going to plant them out on the. They're just kind of pretty, you know, when they flower. Mm-hmm.
Oh, absolutely.
And the
they're
leaves
beautiful.
Are beautiful and stuff.
But, yeah.
And I know they're a mess.
Yeah, they are.
They are a mess. Okay, well, I guess that's pretty much it. Is it, as a general rule, though, say, like, even for acorns and walnuts, is it best to overwinter them?
Well, they're normally overwintered.
Yeah. And do you have a procedure, kind of a basic procedure for that? I mean, you just, like, store them in a paper bag or, I mean, on some leaves or something, or how do you do that?
Well, things like acorns, it's great to store them outside because that's how they're usually stored anyway.
Mm-hmm.
If there's an area of the yard that you want to put some, you know, hardware fabric or chicken wire around to try to protect it from squirrels, from them digging them up, and just lay them in the soil and store them that way.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Dan. Thanks a lot for calling. Kristen Krokowski, our guest today, Waukesha County UW Extension Horticulture Educator. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking all things plants today with Kristen Krokowski. Glad to have you with us listening in. Glad to have Kristen with us as well. Give us a call if you have a question at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison at 263-1890 and email us at talk@wpr.org. Kristen, someone was wondering, had some houseplants in potted where the water is slow to run through the soil. Is there an additive which will promote water seepage through the plant soil?
I guess I would recommend that they maybe consider changing the soil in the spring when they repot the plants.
Yeah,
there isn't really anything you can add. I mean, you could definitely put something like perlite in there to help move the water through, but I'm not sure that's really going to improve the quality of the growing.
That's what was running through my mind, but I thought I'd get the expert opinion on that.
Well, as long as they're pulling them out of the pots, they might as well just replace the soil anyway.
Yeah. Kathy in La Crosse, hi to you.
Hi.
What can we do for you?
I have a maple tree in my backyard. It's been there about, you know, 3 or 4 years. We planted it really small. But this summer, it just had leaves like halfway down, and there's 3 or 4 feet of branches on the top with absolutely no leaves.
Is this new construction?
No.
Okay. It's a yard that's been existing for a long time?
Yep.
Okay.
And the tree is pretty old? How old?
No, very young.
Oh.
Very young.
How has it been the last few years? It's been fine?
Well, it's been small all along. But it's always had leaves, you know, in the right place.
did you plant the tree or did someone else?
Yeah, we got it from our neighbor who got it from the Arbor Day Society. So it was very small when we planted it.
Yeah, and it's hard. I mean, the Arbor Day Society, it's lovely that they give away free trees. But, you know, because they're not a business and they're not doing it, their quality's not always there.
Oh,
so it might just be a tree. First of all, you don't know where the tree was grown.
Right.
So if they grew it in South Carolina, it came up here, then it's probably been struggling for a while.
Oh.
One of the really good ways to tell how long your tree's been struggling is to look at what they call leaf scars. There are these little kind of bumpy areas on the branch. And if you look where the bumpy areas are and you measure between two of those bumpy areas, you can see each year how much it grew because the leaf scars are kind of created at the end of the growing season. Mm-hmm. So if you have real tight areas between those leaf scars, you know that it's been struggling for a while. But if you see that last year that was like 2 or 3 inches, and then this year it was a half an inch, you know that the problems that occurred happened this year.
Oh.
So that's a good way to find out if it's, you know, if it really is a bad tree problem or if it's potentially some kind of, my guess would be some kind of root disorder if it's dying mm-hmm. from the top down.
Sometimes it's the way the tree is planted. If the roots aren't kind of spread out in a sort of a shallow dish-like planting as opposed to a sort of a hole, you can get the roots girdling themselves.
Absolutely. They'll choke themselves to death.
Oh, and that's what this is doing, probably?
It could well be.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much.
Yep. Sure. Thanks very much for calling. And that happens all too often, unfortunately, and it usually takes several years for it to happen, you know, past planting, and then you wonder why they die.
Yeah. It's always a good idea for people when they buy trees to take a look at the roots first. And if they do have young trees, they can definitely kind of dig that out and brush it away and take a look and see if that's the problem. A lot of that can be corrected with pruning.
I'm on the Dane County Tree Board, and we do have a little publication at treeboard.org. It's just how to plant a tree. And it shows how to dig the hole and how to really do it properly. And it's a lot of more information as well at treeboard.org. Worth a look. Kenan Wasucki is next. Hi, Ken.
Good morning. I kind of miss the black walnut thing among the apple trees. I live in an area where I have black walnuts on the hillside, and the squirrels keep planting walnuts in my yard among my apple tree, and I have a young orchard, and I've been nurturing some of these walnuts among my apple trees and probably not doing them any favors.
Probably not.
What is the problem with having walnuts among the apple trees?
Well, the problem with walnuts just in general is the roots produce a toxin called juglone. There are a lot of plants that do this. It's called an allelopathic effect. It's basically the plant, to keep other things from competing with it, kills other things. So it produces a chemical that kills other plants that might compete with it for water and nutrients. And that's what black walnuts do with this juglone. And there are a lot of plants that are susceptible to it and will be killed by it, but there are also plants that are perfectly fine around it.
How about apple trees?
I don't think that they're as affected as most other plants. It won't kill them, but I can see where it might have an effect. I would definitely have to check the list to be sure.
Yeah, I have an apple tree, but one next to it. It's almost as tall, and that thing only has one or two apples on it a year, and the other ones are doing fairly well, so as soon as you had mentioned something like that, I probably assumed that the walnut has an effect on it.
So it's definitely a possibility. Even with the list of juglone-tolerant plants, there are always unknowns. There are a lot of plants that, you know, some people might have luck with and other people don't. So usually it's best just kind of to judge it by what's happening in your yard.
So maybe I should chop them down then. I've been mowing off of quite a few because the squirrels just plant them all over the place. But these two, I got two that are fairly nice now, but they're among the apple trees. So.
Yeah, you might want to dig those out, move them somewhere else.
The squirrels will do that for me. I kind of have one more question about pear tree.
Okay.
I prune my apple trees, but I'm not sure about the pear trees. They don't seem to require as much pruning in the spring or late winter. Do you prune them similar to apple trees?
Yeah, definitely prune them. If your goal is to pick pears off of them, prune them for picking. You want to make sure that you get good light penetration in there.
Okay.
And good air movement, and then you want them to be short enough so that you can actually pick the pears off of. And the only other thing I would recommend is, you know, if you have any rubbing branches or crossing branches, that you prune those out.
Yep. Okay, very good. Thank you very much.
Yep, thanks a lot for calling. Cookie in Milwaukee, hi to you.
Hi, I have a couple questions. One is, I had raspberries, some that were red raspberries and some black, and of course some get ripe in July and some in August. Can I cut them back no matter what they are?
With the summer raspberries, you don't want to cut those back now. You just want to cut the old canes out, the ones that produced this past year.
How do I know which are which?
You should be able to take... It's best to do it, you know, when the raspberries are still on there, and then you can know which ones. But the ones that look like they're thicker and older, I would go and I would prune those back. The thinner ones that are kind of more like pencils, those should be the younger ones that will have berries next summer.
But and if I do...
But if they're fall-bearing raspberries, you can
not.
Just... Yeah, if they were the ones that were ripening in August, then you could just mow them all down.
Okay. Then I also have a question about Creeping Charlie.
Okay.
A couple weeks ago when it was fairly warm out, I sprayed and absolutely nothing happened.
It usually takes, I'm guessing, a few years before you see some real impact. You're going to need to do it in the fall and then again in the spring when it flowers, which is probably the best time.
Okay, is it too late now?
It probably is. Did you guys get frosted last night?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've had a few frosts out by us, but we're outside of town. But now that things are slowing down, it's just not as effective because the plants just aren't moving that herbicide down into the roots now.
Okay.
What you can hope for is that you've weakened the plant. That's typically what happens when you spray in the fall for Creeping Charlie. It's not going to look like it's affected at all. But a lot of times it winter kills because you've weakened the plant with that fall spray.
And does that stuff freeze? Do I have to bring it in the house for the winter?
What stuff?
The whatever Roundup or
I was worried you're overwintering Creeping Charlie. Yeah, you definitely need to keep that probably above 50 degrees. It should say right on the bottle, but you definitely don't want that to freeze.
Okay, thanks.
Yep, thanks a lot for calling. Yeah, we don't want to preserve Creeping Charlie any more than we have to. Linda and Pulaski, your turn. Hi, Linda.
Hello. I've got a question about these two very large red maple trees I have in my front yard. When we moved into the house about 5 years ago, our neighbors had two small red maple trees that had some white circular dots on the leaves. And in the past 5 years, those dots are now starting to move onto our large red maple trees. They're probably very mature. The house is about 50 years old, so I'm guessing that they're probably as old as the house is. And I'm just wondering, the trees don't seem to be affected by them, but I'm wondering if this is something we need to treat the trees for.
When you say red maples, do you mean the leaves are red?
The leaves are, yeah, they're like purple.
That's okay. I just wanted to clarify, because some of the red maples are the ones that turn red in the fall. So
no, the leaves are red all year round. I mean, when they have leaves.
Yeah. I wouldn't be concerned about it. I'm not familiar with it. I would assume it's some kind of a disease if it's moving like that. A lot of those leaf spots, especially on maples, are just cosmetic, and they don't do any damage. But next time you have the leaf spots, I would recommend having somebody take a look at it and telling you exactly what it is, just so that if it is a problem, you can take care of it.
Okay, and who would I have look at it?
Your county extension office should be able to do that for you, or they can send it into the disease diagnostic lab at UW-Madison, and they definitely can figure out what's wrong.
Okay.
All right,
thank you.
Thanks, Linda. Thank you very much for calling. And Don in Mequon, your turn. Hi, Don.
Good morning. I have two questions. One of them is on, this is the first year I've ever tried to plant cannas bulbs. I bought it.
Can you speak up just a little bit? I'm sorry.
I'm trying to, I planted some cannas bulbs that I bought at a rummage sale, and they went absolutely fantastic. Is it the proper time of year now to dig those up and put them away for the winter?
Yes. Yeah, I would do that soon.
Okay. And would you just wrap them in paper and put them in the basement?
I think that those need to be stored. I would use some kind of a moss or something like that just to keep some moisture in there, because you don't want those to dry out completely.
Okay. Second question is, and I heard before that you were talking about some Arbor Day trees. Now, I picked some up, and they are doing well. My question is, they were in pots, and now I want to put them in the ground, and I'm not sure exactly where I want to put them yet. They're only, you know, less than 2 feet tall, so it's not a big problem. Is there a problem if I just dig a hole, dump them in for the winter, and then, or should I just put them in the pots and put the pots in the ground?
Are they in plastic pots, I assume?
A couple of them are. One is in a ceramic.
Yeah, you can definitely just dig a hole and sink those pots.
Okay.
Make sure the lip of the pot is at ground level.
Okay.
And then mulch those in a little bit to keep them over the winter. But
okay.
It really is a good idea to get those in the ground, because what happens is what Larry was talking about before is those roots, once they start hitting that edge of the pot, they can start to circle.
Yeah.
And when they start to circle, that can start causing girdling root, and it can choke the tree. So take a look at it when you take them out of the pots in the spring, once you decide where to plant them, and prune back any of those roots that look like they're, you know, decent-sized roots, and they're starting to circle.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Sure.
All right. Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Kristen Krakowski, our guest today, Waukesha County UW Extension Commercial Horticulture Educator on this edition of Garden Talk here on the Ideas Network.
The businesses.
You're listening to Garden Talk here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Larry Mueller with my guest, Kristen Krakowski, Waukesha County UW Extension Horticulture Educator. Really happy to have her along. Thank you for listening in. And with so many callers online ready to talk, we go right to the phones and Dolores in Kenosha. Dolores, thanks for calling. Hello.
Thank you. I'm enjoying this program immensely. We've been told was a Colorado blue spruce when my son brought it home in the fourth grade. It's been doing very well. He's graduated from college now. So
okay.
It's probably, I was just looking at it, 16 feet tall. And it's nice and full. Never had any health problems. We water it when we're supposed to. But the top 3 to 4 feet, the leader, has that skimpy little needles on it. Can I possibly cut that back and train one of the fuller branches just below it to be the leader?
I think it's a lot safer just to leave it on.
Okay. Otherwise, you're inviting disease.
Whenever you see the top of any tree to be thin, mm-hmm. usually it's just an indicator that there's not quite enough water getting up to the tippy top of the tree.
Okay.
Because that's the last place to get water. So maybe just keep a little bit of an eye on it, and when you water, make sure you water 1 inch of water all at one time, mm-hmm. once a week when it's dry. That way the water can get past the grass roots or the roots of anything that's in the upper layers, and it gets down to those tree roots.
Mm-hmm.
And see if you can just kind of nurse it and get it a little bit fuller before I would try anything drastic.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Yep. Thanks a lot for calling. Bobby in Sparta, hello to you.
Well, good morning, early afternoon.
Hi.
My question is about the sunburst locust.
Okay.
And last year it came down with just a slew of these green bugs that look like aphids. But they're not they're faster than aphids. And it seemed to, they curled up all the leaves on this tree. And we thought, well, we could try to spray it. But it's too near our con where we have koi.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Question, answer.
Honey locust plant bug is probably what you have.
Okay.
If it's not too big of a tree, I would just take the garden hose and hose it down.
It is probably about 25 feet. It's pretty big.
Well, I would get as much as you, if you definitely don't want to use any kind of pesticides.
Okay.
You can just hose it down with a hose, and that should knock a lot of the bugs off.
Why this year? Of, you know, all years, wondering if this is something that we're going to have to contend with now or if it's going to come and go?
No, it's sporadic. Usually when you have insect problems, most of the insects don't overwinter here in Wisconsin because of how cold it gets. So a lot of them get blown up. So it just depends where the winds decide to take the insects that year, and that's who ends up having problems.
No, well, thank you. I appreciate that because I hate to sit under a tree that, you know, you're getting green under.
Understood, Bobby. Thanks a lot for calling. Joan in Dixon, Illinois. Your turn. Hi, Joan.
Well, thank you very much. Hello.
Hi.
My question is that I believe I have a hawthorn that's suffering from leaf blight. It leaves out in the spring very nicely, and then midsummer they start curling, and they have black dots on them, and they fall off, and then all of a sudden, August, my tree starts getting leaves again.
And it's black dots you have?
Yes.
Okay, because there is something called cedar hawthorn rust, which is something that attacks most hawthorns, but the spots on that are kind of orange on the outside and red in the middle.
I don't believe so. We thought that's what it was, and so we took care of the cedar trees in the neighborhood.
At night? Out of, under shadow darkness?
Went out there with a chainsaw? And...
Actually, I live on a farm, and my driveway is a quarter of a mile, so I can tell you within a quarter mile there are no cedar trees.
Okay.
And a chainsaw did work.
Probably the best thing to do, not knowing exactly what kind of a fungal disease you have, is to prune. A lot of times when trees get leaf diseases, it's because their canopy is really full and there's not enough air movement through there. So if you are indeed having a fungal kind of disease on your leaves and you open it up a little bit and get some more sun and some more air in there, it would probably just take care of itself.
It's a pretty open tree. Okay. It has a lot of air. That wouldn't be it. No.
Then what I would do is take it into, I know Illinois has diagnostic services also.
Sure.
Once you have dots again, you know, because if it sounds like it's not a cultural problem, it definitely sounds like something fungal. If all the leaves are dropping and then they're coming back, it's something similar to what I'd see on like apple or crabapple trees, a kind of a scab.
Yeah.
And you just basically have to identify it so you know how to treat for it.
Okay.
And usually, for those kind of things, if you treat a few years, you can take care of the problem, and you don't have any, inoculum, any of the spores that are reinfecting the tree. But for the short term, I would definitely make sure that you rake up all those leaves and dispose of them somewhere else.
There aren't enough leaves left.
Okay.
Don't worry about it.
That might be good news.
Oh, boy.
And the Japanese beetles also were terrible in attacking it, but we took care of those, so we have the Japanese beetle problem under control.
Did you do a soil drench for that?
We sprayed with Mustang.
Honestly, if your tree's under stress, what I would do is I would go and buy a product that has imidacloprid in it. It's a insecticide that's taken up by the roots of the tree, and it comes out so when the tree leaves out in the spring, that chemical's already in there, and it kills the bugs right away.
And what's that product called?
It's usually, there are a lot of generics now, but the original product was called Bayer Tree and Shrub Care. It's Bayer, the aspirin people.
Right.
And it's in a blue jug, and I'm not sure that's still out on the shelves, but you can apply it in the spring. And the nice thing about that is that it's effective in that tree for 12 to 18 months.
Wonderful.
And that will take care of most of your insect pests. So, you know, if your tree's weakened and it's having a hard time, I would go that route.
Fantastic. I will do that.
All right. Good luck. Thanks, Joan. And Neil in Oconomowoc, you are next. Hi, Neil.
Hello. We have a problem with our birch trees.
Birch tree problem. Okay.
We were walking around the yard the other day, and up about 6 feet above the ground on each of the trunks, we have clump birch, and there are three trunks in each of the clump birches. There are oval-shaped holes almost going the entire circumference of the bark of the trunk. And we noticed it. We happened to notice it because there were ants and wasps feeding on the sap in there. And we're wondering if that's bronze birch borer or what. We don't notice any other thing on the tree. The leaves all seem to be okay, and it looks like it's just kind of got started. Can you give us any advice on that?
How much are these, like out in the middle of a front yard, or what kind of environment are they in?
The one near the house is in a lot of shade.
Okay.
Surrounded by, we have a few arborvita trees planted there as well.
Mm-hmm.
The one in the backyard is more in the sun. It's on a little embankment, so the water, when it rains, the water sometimes drains away from that tree. So we had to water that this summer quite
mm-hmm.
often. And so I'm just wondering if that's what it is or...
Which one's having problems?
Both of the clump birches are having problems.
Okay.
The one in the back is having the least. There's just a few there. Well, one of the trunks in the clump by the house is... The holes are almost all the way around the bark.
My guess is that birds are going into your tree trying to eat the insects.
Oh.
Usually what happens,
well,
especially
I hope
when
right.
Well, that's not good. That means there are insects in your tree. That means they're the little larval stage, the little worms are in your tree, which means you have problems.
Would it be the bronze of birch bark?
It's possible. It's definitely possible. That's probably the most common thing to affect birch. It's just really hard because birch aren't the best suited for the Wisconsin climate. I mean, some places they do really well.
Yeah.
Down here in the southeast part of Wisconsin, since we have clay soils and most people put them in a lot of sun, they really are understory trees. They need a fair amount of shade. They like to be intermixed with other trees.
Well,
they
the
like
one,
to have a lot of water.
The one is in a lot of shade, and that's the one that seems to be the worst. But they've done very well. We started them as real small birch trees, and they've grown fast. And
how old are they?
Well. Oh, I would guess they're probably 10 years.
Yeah, to be honest, I mean, at least down here, I don't see most birches get more than 8.
Really?
8 to 10 is usually when they really start having problems.
So now, from what I've read about this bronze birch borer, though, there isn't a whole lot we can do, is there?
No, there's not. I would actually have a certified arborist come out, take a look at the trees, and identify it for sure, and then tell you what they could possibly do.
Okay.
All right. Good luck. Thanks a lot, Neil. Anne in Tomahawk, what's on your mind?
Hi. I wondered if there was anything that you could do for a wild rose bush that's really gotten out of hand. It's overtaken in a couple of my other gardens. And would this be the time to trim it back, or can you ever get rid of them all the way?
There is a wild rose plant that's actually invasive in Wisconsin. And it's something you do want to try to get rid of. Trim it back whenever you want because you're trying to kill it.
Okay.
So, you know, you might try digging them out. That's probably the most effective if it's not too much. But you can also use something like Roundup during this time of the year and try to paint that on those stems and see if it gets taken down into the roots and will kill them.
Okay. Yeah, it seems to have a real long root that... goes horizontally, and it is very invasive. So just keep cutting it back and try the Roundup.
Yeah, I would definitely, the Roundup's probably, if you're not having any success with the cutting it back, that's probably the better option. And if it still has green leaves on it now, and it's somewhat warm near where you are, you could definitely try doing a fall application, and then if it's not taken care of, start working on it again in the spring.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Yeah, I think you need almost 50 degrees, don't you, for
the application.
Yeah.
But I think we're going to get 57 down here today, so.
Okay. Al in Kenosha, hello to you.
Hi, Larry. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Sure.
And I'm really enjoying your guest responses. I have two questions. The first one has to do with, or both of them have to deal with trees. The first one is we live next to a beautiful park in Kenosha, and we have a variety of ages of trees and a variety of trees. Is there a way I can determine the approximate age of a tree by measuring the circumference and knowing the type of tree? And the second question has to do with arborvitae trees we have in our land. They're about 6.5 feet tall, and we're thinking of keeping them about that height. Maybe the growth around them as well. Is there a way we can maintain that?
There's, with the arborvitae, there are a lot of people who, just prune those back every year, and that's something you can do. The one thing you don't want to do is you don't want to cut them back past where the leaves are occurring, because on arborvitae, the kind of the stems or the branches where they're coming out, where there isn't leaf growth, those aren't going to resprout for you. So you don't want to, do a really hard cut back on any of those. You just want to make sure you maintain them every year and cut them back a little bit, whatever they've grown that year.
Okay, and snipping off the top keeps them at the height they're at?
It should.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And then
right.
The aging the tree?
That's kind of a little bit trickier because depending on where it's at, they're going to grow at different rates. Really, the only real effective way to age a tree is coring it, and that's not really going to do a whole lot for the health of the tree.
No.
Could we guess within maybe, 10, 20 years of the age of the tree, or is that still pretty tough?
I don't know. If you have somebody with a lot of training, they might be able. They might feel confident enough to give you an estimate.
Do you have? Do you have? Is this a large tree? Is that what you're?
Right. There are some very large trees, and some are maples, and some are oaks, and it's just their bases. Maybe three people could reach around them. So.
Yeah. Bruce Allison has a book out on century trees, mm-hmm. and has some inside. It has some measurements of the trees.
Okay.
And you might just look online, Bruce Allison and trees, and you'll find. I'm forgetting the title of the book right now, but you might be able to get some general idea from that.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for calling. It's Bruce Allison. Ed in Green Bay, your turn. Hi, Ed.
Hi. I was just wondering, I transplanted some Cortland apple trees from Milwaukee up to O'Connell. They were about 10 years old, and I noticed one of them this year has like a moss or a lichen. It's real tight to the bark. It's dry, but it's growing throughout the tree now, and I was wondering what to spray it or what to do about it, I guess.
Is it? It's kind of a greenish color?
Yeah, greenish blue.
Yeah, that's lichen, and that's excellent to have. That just means you have good air quality in your area. You don't want to do anything about it. It doesn't feed off the tree. It just kind of attaches and kind of lives there, and it feeds off of the air. So just leave it there. It's a good thing. It means that everything's going well in your area.
Well, that's pretty good news.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Sure.
Thanks a lot for calling. Sandy and Big Bend, hello to you.
Well, hello. How are you?
Good.
I have a question about Lily of the Nile. I think they're tubers or bulbs in a pot.
Okay.
I want to know how to store it for the winter, if I can let that dry out. I have plant lights in the basement, or if I should put it under plant lights, and also what would I fertilize it with?
Definitely don't fertilize it now.
Okay. Even under the lights.
No, usually for even with house plants during the winter, mm-hmm. what you want to do is you want to slow them down. You want to kind of put them in a hibernation phase because they're really not getting the temperature or the light that they're looking for. And if they're trying to actively grow and they're coming up against all these adverse conditions, it really negatively affects the plants. They have a real hard time. They lose a lot of leaves.
Okay.
That's why we tell everybody to cut back a lot on the watering. You know, you just want to keep the soil, you know, just barely a little bit moist. You don't want it wet. You don't
even under good plant lights.
Well, it's still going to be cool.
Well, my basement is like 68.
Okay. I mean, you definitely are going to have to see what's going on in your basement. Is it humid down in your basement?
Pretty. Yeah, pretty good.
Okay. Well, that's going to slow down your watering also.
Mm-hmm.
Because when it's humid out, the leaves are losing less water to the air. So just keep an eye on them. Once it starts to dry out, then you can water it, but it will probably be a lot less frequent than under normal conditions.
Okay. And are there tubers under there or bulbs?
I would have to take a look.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thanks a lot for calling. And let's go to Chris in Sparta next. Hi, Chris.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I've got two questions, unrelated. One is I have what I believe are fall raspberries. They're in an area of my backyard that is got shade. They never seem to produce enough berries. I had to finally cut them back because they were just loaded with fruit, but none of it ever got bigger or ripened. Is this something that I need to just dig them up and move them to another area? It's not going to work well?
Someplace with a lot more sun.
Okay.
Happening is most fruit ripening happens by how much heat they get. They call them growing degree days. So they have to have so much heat over a period of time to ripen, and it's probably just not warming up fast enough for them in shade, so that they're not getting enough, they're not ripening before you want to pick them, before it freezes.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that. And I've got one other question. I purchased through a local flower shop nursery a bougainvillea this year in this area, which I thought was really odd, because that is from southern states, Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. I kept it. It was in a hanging basket. I transferred it into a big pot, and it did fine all summer. I kept it out of the rain because I know they don't, you know, aren't used to a lot of being that they're not from this area.
Uh-huh.
And now my question is, can I winter it? Can I keep that in the pot, bring it in? Do you think it would make it in the house until summer comes next year?
That's an iffy situation. I know a lot of people try it. Some people are successful and some people aren't. But you definitely want to do the same things. You want to slow it down a little bit. You don't want to, you know, cool it down a little bit. Make sure it's getting enough humidity.
Mm-hmm.
Don't water it as frequently, and definitely don't fertilize it.
Okay. It would never make it, right, if I put it in my garage and just covered it?
No.
Okay. Needs to get inside.
Yep.
Yeah, and a sunny window is probably best, but just not real close to the window where it's cold. Keep it away from drafts, keep it away from heating vents, all that kind of stuff.
And you don't cut that thing back, right?
It's going to lose some leaves when you bring it in anyway. So I would just let it lose its leaves, see what it looks like then, and then if you need to cut it back because it looks really bad, you could do that. But I would preserve as much of the, you know, leaf area as I could.
Okay, and no fertilizing all winter, you said?
Yeah, you could do a really, really weak solution, but you're just going to encourage growth.
Okay.
And that's not something you want to do during the winter. I would start fertilizing again in the spring and see if you could use that to get it to bloom again.
Okay.
All right.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. Jeff in Chippewa Falls. Hello.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
Well, I have a tree rose, and last summer a sprout came up out of the ground from the roots and grew as tall as the tree rose and bloomed the same as the tree rose, and I was wondering if I should remove that sprout or if it will just be another tree rose.
I think that you could just leave it on there if you'd like to, but you could... You could pull it off and move it if you'd prefer to have another one in another location.
Yeah, I don't know if it's interconnected into the same root system.
I'm sure you can just pull that soil away and take a look.
Okay.
I don't think that that's going to cause any, you know, harm to the plant. Do you usually overwinter that by mulching or?
It's in an area that's mulched anyway, and
okay.
It's right next to the foundation. And even though it's cold, it survived last winter fine. And this sprout came up this last summer and grew as tall, but it does not have the hard bark that the rest of it, the main sprout, has.
And you might consider, because usually in this area you have to really, you know, consider how you're going to overwinter tree roses. Usually people either dig a ditch and tip them over and cover them with soil, or they mulch them with leaves or something like that. And that smaller one might need that because it's, you know, if the bark's thinner, it might be more prone to winter injury.
Okay.
All right. And you're in Chippewa Falls, so you're probably going to need to do that.
Yeah. Well, I was going to just cut it off. But
yeah, well, you can do that too.
I didn't know if I should. I didn't know if it would harm the plant to leave it or not, because I thought, you know, it grew 4 feet in the one summer and then bloomed at the end of the summer. So
it doesn't sound like it's hurting anything.
No.
Okay.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you.
I appreciate the call. And Kristen, thank you so much. Boy, the time flew by.
Thanks for having me.
Love it. We'll look forward to your next visit.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks, Kristen. Kristen Krokowski is Waukesha County University of Wisconsin Extension horticulture educator, and it's really a pleasure. I don't know how many questions we answered today, but we answered a lot of questions, and it was really fun for me to hear what she had to say. Hope it was for you as well. Just looking ahead, Monday at 11, Peter Green will be coming along from InfoStar of Madison. He's our personal computer consultant, and he has some advice for you computer users, and he has his top 10 list, too. That's always a lot of fun to hear what he comes up with. Thanks for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.